Hello there. Thanks for joining me in the Psychology Report. You know, we are now over 20,000 hits. People listening all over the world and regular listeners, periodic listeners, those that are curious, those that are using it for learning purposes, tracking certain subjects. We've been now doing this for 1 year. As of yesterday, we were 1 year old as a podcast. And we have almost 200 podcasts that are in archives. So if you have interest in any particular topic related to psychology, look in the archives. You may find a topic that's of interest to you. Now, here's an interesting area that some of you will obviously resonate to. Insomnia. Now, I've done a program earlier on insomnia, some of the problems of sleeping difficulties and how you can correct sleeping difficulties and improve your sleep patterns. But there's another kind of sleep disorder known as apnea, sleep apnea, a very serious sleep disorder and one that should be paid attention to and not particularly ignored. So let me give you just a little brief rundown on sleep apnea, because it's an important area of health, and your health particularly. You know, sleep apnea is a condition in which people repeatedly stop breathing during their sleep night. So they'll go to sleep, and very shortly, they'll wake up after a little bit of a deep sleep. And then throughout the night, they'll have these periodic times of awakening, or arousal, certainly, as they stop breathing and choke and kind of have to gasp and get some air and then go back to sleep. And then this is repeated, you know, throughout the night. So to make sure if you have sleep apnea, what is done is a kind of a test. There are two tests. One you can do in a hospital, which is a thorough test of sleep apnea. You go to a clinic, go to a hospital, you actually sleep there overnight, and they hook you up with a whole bunch of electrodes to measure a variety of systems of the body, the heart rate, lungs, your breathing patterns, your brain patterns during sleep, your rapid eye movement, you know, during sleep, and then observe how you actually sleep, your sleep patterns, whether you stop breathing, or you have these abrupt awakening, or you're gasping for air, or choking. These are kind of common symptoms that are ignored, besides the snoring. And most of us know sleep apnea because these people snore. Now, not all snorers have sleep apnea, but all people who have sleep apnea do snore. So this is a critical factor. So just don't say, well, because you snore, you have sleep apnea. It's the gasping. It's the waking up. You know, it's that choking kind of a sense in the middle of the night that is more prominent as to what makes sleep apnea what it is and why it's different from just plain old snoring. Now, what happens then, of course, and in the morning, in the day, people wake up. If they have sleep apnea, they wake up. In the morning with a headache, often. Dry mouth, often. Difficulty concentrating during the day, usually. And just have this kind of concentration disorder or concentration difficulty. In other words, it's not just sleep. It does follow the pattern of the individual throughout the day, in particular the morning, as you have difficulty waking up and difficulty arousing and getting going in the morning, because there's this kind of drowsiness that takes a while for a person with sleep apnea to arouse sufficiently to get on with the day. Now, this affects primarily people who are older, primarily men, and people who are overweight. So these are some of the kind of the factors here that come to play. And this is kind of an airflow difficulty. In the back of your mouth, there are muscles and there's a structure that allows for free flow of air. And for those that have apnea, of course, that free flow of air is constricted. And that's why they have this choking. That's why they have this sensation of being choked in the middle of the night, because they can't breathe. And depends on how they sleep and how they hold their head and how they hold their body during the sleep patterns will affect the degree to which air is obstructed or not as it flows through as one breathes normally throughout the night. Now, you can test for this in two different ways. You can go to a clinic, that's true, and that's the best, and that's where the best diagnosis can be achieved, and then, of course, a treatment plan can be then implemented. But one can do a home test as well. If one is intimidated by a hospital or a clinic and or for some reason has a bad experience or has fear, and they can be, you can be hooked up so your heart rate is monitored, your blood oxygen levels are monitored, your breathing patterns are monitored, and your sleep patterns are monitored, and you can get a fairly accurate estimate as to whether you have sleep apnea or not. It may not be perfect. It may have a certain margin of error, and some doctors won't accept the home test as a definitive way to reach a diagnosis. They still want you to go to the hospital or to a clinic and get it done professionally. Some doctors believe that way. Others will accept a home test. So if you're going to do this and you can't go to a hospital or a clinic for whatever reason, then you check with your doctor and see if they will accept a home test and the results of a home test. And you can do it over a couple times and just make sure that there's a pattern that is consistent from night, you know, to night. Now, this is a very critical area of sleep, and it's a very critical area of one's health. Because if you're kind of getting that choking sensation, if you're getting that difficulty breathing, obstruction in breathing, that means you're not getting the oxygen to the brain. You're not getting the oxygen to your body. So when you have a loss of oxygen to the body or insufficient oxygen to the body or to the brain particularly, what are you creating? Well, you're creating brain damage. You're allowing cells of the brain to actually die. And over time, it may not matter one night, obviously, but over time when you have this pattern going on year upon year and you are not getting sufficient oxygen at night because you have sleep apnea, then a brain damage pattern is being set in and being created. So that's why this is an important factor. It's not just because you sleep better or because your spouse will sleep better because you are now maybe doing a better sleep pattern without all that noise, but you're doing yourself a favor because this is a brain damage issue. Now, more importantly then, not only is it a brain damage issue, but it's an Alzheimer's issue. Considerable amount of research shows that people with sleep apnea are more likely to obtain a stage in their life where they develop Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a brain disorder. It's a brain damage disorder. And over time, you're advancing the death of the brain. You're advancing the weakness of the brain. You're advancing the impairment of the brain and creating a sense of dementia. And that will then eventually, or may eventually, lead to Alzheimer's. So it's a critical issue. It's an important one to pay attention to. Now, besides the dementia-like possibility or Alzheimer's possibility, because you're creating this sense of brain injury or brain impairment, people who with sleep apnea wake up in the morning having a great deal of difficulty getting their attention focused. So throughout the day, their performance is probably not as good because they're having difficulty maintaining attention throughout the day. In school, kids are having difficulty maintaining attention. In college and postgraduate school, if you have apnea, you're likely then to have difficulty in your performance in your academic areas. If you're working, you're likely to have difficulty performing because you have loss of attention, you know, throughout the day. So there's an attentional factor here that is developed or occurs as a result of sleep apnea. And when the sleep apnea goes away, people can pay better attention and obviously make sure that they are able to process not only sleep, but process their day's requirements as well. If you have sleep apnea, you're more likely to be tired throughout the day. You're more likely to be sleepy throughout the day. More likely to feel like you want to take a nap throughout the day. Or some people do take a nap throughout the day. Or when you come home at the end of the day, you're really exhausted and tired and might need to take a nap before the evening activities of your home. You may just feel so tired, go to bed early. which means your marriage, your family is suffering as a result of this. So sleep apnea has a lot of implications, and it has a lot of important factors of our life impacted. And so you want to make sure that you, if you have sleep apnea, if your spouse tells you you have sleep apnea, you may want to have that checked out because of this implication of what it does. So it's not only affecting your sleep, not only affecting the sleep pattern of your spouse, but it's affecting the way you live and the way you function and the way that you are alert throughout the day and the degree of performance that you're able to produce and just the degree of alertness and sharpness that you have in your mental capacities, you know, throughout the day. So diagnosing sleep apnea is important. And if you have it, there's a treatment plan. And so you learn to sleep differently. And there's a mask that you wear at night, which allows for a better flow of oxygen. And when you have a better flow of oxygen, you not only sleep better, but your brain now is more rested and more restored, you know, as a part of good sleep during the night. Now, you have to remember this. The brain is very active at night. The brain takes that nighttime and integrates information that you did all day long and things you learned all day long and thought about all day long and integrates it with things you did yesterday and prepares you for tomorrow. So your brain is very active in the sense of taking all that information and putting in various pigeonholes and organizing it within your neurological system so that you can remember certain things, that you can categorize certain things, that you can act on certain things, make decisions about certain things, solve certain kind of problems, get information together, gather information so that you can function at an effective level. That all takes place while you sleep. So your brain is extremely active, particularly the forepart of the brain. So you don't want to impair it. You don't want to minimize it. You don't want to diminish it because you need that brain activity at night because you need to have that performance at this peak level as possible the next day. So that's sleep apnea. Good to have you with me today, and look it up. And if you have a general sleep problem, go back in the archives and get an article that I've already done on insomnia and add that to this and listen to both of them, and you'll kind of see where you fit in, you know, to the pattern. Anyway, go to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. In there, I have a book on health, on healthcare, Achieving and Living a Healthy Lifestyle in a World of Stress. And there's a lot of good articles there related to this issue of good sleep as well as general health and how you can live a healthy lifestyle and improve your lifestyle of living. So you can get that by going to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. And bye for now.